music without words cannot be proved to mean anything. It certainly can't mean Tuesday or marigold or yellow, and it can't mean American even. It can't even mean sad, unless the composer tells you in words that's what it means.
Ned Roram likes to muse about music, and in particular about songs, which are his specialty. Starting in the mid-1940s, when he was just entering his 20s, Roram began an outpouring of art songs in which he set his favorite English, American, and French poems to music.
Early in the morning of a lovely summer day, as they lowered the bright awning at the outdoor cafe.
I think that I can write in big forms more easily than I used to be able to in the past, but I still, my heart is in small forms.
A little pretty nightingale among the leaves so green, would I were with her all the night.
Music is music and the words are incidental. Art in a song comes from the music.
Roram has been for his whole life a devotedly tonal composer. He never really even flirted with atonal music, even when everybody was doing it in the 40s and 50s. No, Roram has written the music he wanted to write, to say nothing of the prose, 15 books filled with diaries and essays, mostly about music, many about songs, including one on the songs of the Fab Four.
In 1967, the world had been so brainwashed by Boulez and by Elliot Carter, and we were, and people, so as not to be thought of as uncultured, would have to sit and listen to that music. Maybe they liked it, maybe they didn't, but it was, there it was, and along came the Beatles, and suddenly intellectuals were allowed to listen to it.
And the eyes in his head see the world spinning round.
I thought that their music was really terrific.
He's a real nowhere man.
And I compared it, and I meant what I said. I compared it to Monteverdi, and I compared it to Schumann. There were a whole lot of songs. I'm fixing a hole where the rain comes in. I'm fixing a hole, But there were a dozen or so that I thought were exquisite from start to finish in every possible way.
So you might think that Ned Roram, songwriter, would feel inclined to try his hand at a song written in a more popular style. And you would be wrong.
People always say, you know, you write such divine songs, do a Broadway show. It's not the same thing at all. I did a series of hostings for composers, and Sondheim was one of my guests. So we talked about this question, what is the difference between a musical and an opera? I felt that he was wrong and I was right. He said that it has to do with the venue. If Sweeney Todd's performed at the Met, it's an opera. If it's performed at Broadway, it's a musical. It has to do with a singer. Angela Lansbury can certainly sing Sweeney Todd, but she can't sing Mozart. Barbara Streisand tried and failed embarrassingly by doing what was called classical. But the two things are not interchangeable. My songs are songs, and they are written for trained voices. Pop music and classical music, they're two different genres.
So much for erasing the boundaries between one kind of music and another. So much for crossover. As for Roram's songs, he does have by now, after setting several hundred poems, certain principles to compose by.
I think that since we are presuming to take somebody else's work and break its back before we reset the bones in the form of song, we should do two things. One is never repeat words that the poet hasn't repeated, which people do all the time. And the other thing is I try to heighten rather than broaden the poem. I try to set words at the speed of speech.
Oh, you whom I often and silently come where you are, that I may be with you. As I walk by your side, or sit near, or remain in the same room with you. Little you know the subtle electric fire that for your sake is playing within me.
Roram has, of course, explored other forms quite thoroughly. His string quartet, recorded by the Emerson, his recent concerto for the left hand, written for the pianist Gary Graffman, symphonies, his Pulitzer Prize-winning air music, a stunning English horn concerto, a violin concerto, operas and ballets. But he's never stopped doing what he's best known for.
What's easiest is to write songs.
The other night I saw a light, a star as bright as day, and ever among a maiden's song, bye-bye, baby lolly.
What I feel most at home with and always have is his voice and piano. I suppose I could be satisfied with that for the rest of my life.
So could we, I suppose, be satisfied with that, though all of Roram's music sounds especially good at this moment.
The fact of the matter is that we're in a period right now where music is very easy to listen to. It changes from generation to generation, from easy to hard, back to easy to hard, to easy to hard. It goes from Palestrina to the romantic period of Beethoven and then Chopin, and then back to the complex period of Wagner and Schoenberg, into the easy period of Les Six and French music, then back into Elliot Carter, and then now back into tonal music. But I've stayed the same, and I'm old enough now to have gone through several generations.
Ned Roram faces a full summer schedule, with new pieces premiering at Ravinia in July and Saratoga in August. The pendulum, you might say, has swung his way. But despite that predictable swing, nothing in Roram's world is quite so pat.
Nobody knows the future. If we knew the future doesn't exist. If it existed, it wouldn't be the future.
For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.